You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
What makes a good love story? Devotion? Desire? Passion? Well, according to Pulitzer Prize-winning author Jeffrey Eugenides, the best love stories revolve around disappointment, matrimonial boredom, and at least one cold heart. Mr. Eugenides, who wrote The Virgin Suicides of Middlesex, has edited a new book called My Mistress's Sparrow is Dead, Great Love Stories from Chekhov to Monroe. It's published by HarperCollins, and I'm delighted that it has brought him back to the show today. Hello.
Hello there.
Where did you get your title, My Mistress's Sparrow is Dead?
It comes from a Catullus poem, or actually a couple of poems by the Roman poet Catullus. The famous Lesbia poems begin with a short poem where the poet is in love with this woman, Lesbia, and she's in love with the sparrow.
She's in love with the sparrow.
Right, and then that's poem one. Poem 2A is a fragment. We don't know what that was, but poem three, the sparrow has died, and Catullus can't get the girl's attention because she's grieving. Also, it's ruined her looks. She's crying. So in a way, those poems delineate a whole scope of the love story.
And you say in each of these 26 love stories of the book, there is either a sparrow or the sparrow is dead.
Right. Either there's a sparrow and your girlfriend isn't paying enough attention to you, or the sparrow's dead and, you know, she's not interested. So I found that actually pertained to most of the stories that I read in my search.
Which are about disappointment, matrimonial boredom. Can't a love story just be about two people crazy in love?
It can be, and it's a very boring story.
So it has to be emotionally painful to be interesting?
Well, I didn't start out with that premise. I just went around the world asking people what their favorite love stories were and then reading them. And I found after a while maybe it's something perverse in my nature that the ones I liked seemed to be dark. But, you know, as you can see in the ones that I've chosen, stories like The Dead, The Lady with the Little Dog by Chekhov, famous stories, they're not eccentric, and they all do exhibit this quality of frustration in a large part.
When you took on this project, you say you asked people what for recommendations. Were there some that you knew that you had to include because they were stories you loved?
That was really the odd thing is that the theme was love, but many of the stories people suggested were already my favorite stories, like The Dead by James Joyce or Spring and Fialta by Nabokov, one of my favorite short stories. So in a way, this book is a book of love stories, but it's also kind of an anthology of my favorite stories, many of them.
You do have some of the greatest literary talents of all time. We mentioned Chekhov and Faulkner and Joyce and Nabokov, and also some wonderful ones from today. But what I noticed that it was really interesting is the illustration on the cover, which is of a heart, but not a Valentine heart.
No.
But an anatomical drawing of a heart with all the veins and the blood vessels, the aorta and the ventricles.
Yes, we went back and forth on the cover design, and there were Valentine hearts and there was the real medical heart, and I like the medical heart.
Because it says that this is about the reality of love, not the fantasy of love?
I suppose that's true. I just like the image of it and the idea that all of the writers seem to be actual anatomical parts of the heart. These love stories are moving. I don't mean to give the impression that these are all bitter stories. These are extremely moving passionate stories. They just always involve some kind of problem, some kind of obstacle, which is what all fiction, you know, looks for and has.
Well, some more than others. David Gates's The Bad Thing is about a couple whose relationship is fraught with distrust and deceit. I'm not sure I would think of that as a love story.
Well,
more like a hate story.
Let's say I had a rather expansive idea of the love story. That was about a marriage and about someone who was drinking too much, and it seemed to me to be I wanted each story to illuminate a different aspect of love or relationships, not repetition. That was something I was trying to avoid. That's why you see so many writers from different different languages and different parts of the world, because I did want to have it be a various collection as well.
Well, some people have referred to Faulkner's A Rose for Emily as a Gothic horror tale, but it's also a love story.
That is absolutely a love story. I mean, for those who haven't read it, I don't want to give it away, but the woman has a very strong attachment to her lover in that story, and I can't think of anything, you know, going further than that.
Do you think of your novel Middlesex as a love story?
Both of my books are love stories. Nabokov said all great novels are fairy tales. I think all novels are love stories in a way, or all my favorite ones.
Well,
certainly.
Sorry. But there are certain writers who lend themselves more to love stories than others, and their styles do as well. You didn't have anything in here from Dostoevsky or Norman Mailer or Patricia Highsmith, and I would think that there were good reasons for that.
That's probably true. I mean, with my own work, The Virgin Suicides obviously is a love story of sorts, a kind of odd one where these boys are obsessed with a bunch of girls. And Middlesex began as a love story about these two girls in high school where one wasn't exactly a girl. So my own work is very much generated by these kinds of ideas.
My guest is Jeffrey Eugenides, who's edited a collection of love stories from Chekhov to Alice Munro called My Mistress's Sparrow is Dead. And the book is published by who's? HarperCollins.
HarperCollins.
Now, how did you wind up with this project?
Dave Eggers, the literary Bono of our time, has generated many of these anthologies to raise money for the 826 literacy projects.
Wait, does he know you call him the literary Bono of our time?
He doesn't, but he will now. he asked me to do it, and it's raising money for the Chicago 826, and I was recently living in Chicago. So I was happy to do it, and we thought, what would it be about? And we came up with this idea of the love story. So that's how it began. It began as a charitable enterprise, and I found as the year went on and I collected these short stories and asked people to give me their favorites, that I really did look forward in the nighttime coming home and reading more love stories. I was really glad I hadn't picked a theme, you know, like the decline of capitalism or something like that. It was actually much better.
You've taken quite a long time to complete your novels. How long did it take you to compile the book?
Oh, this was much easier than writing a novel. I hardly noticed I was doing this in comparison.
Well, all writers read a lot. So I'm sure that this was actually a pleasurable experience, even rereading most of these stories.
It was extremely pleasurable. The only thing not pleasurable is when you liked a story and couldn't get the rights to reprint it.
And is that a problem still in the publishing world?
If they're not out of copyright. We had a situation where The Dead is still in copyright in the UK, but not here, so we couldn't use it in the UK edition.
Wow.
And I wanted to put Brokeback Mountain in here, and I couldn't secure the rights for that.
But you have some pretty strong stuff. I don't know if they're all HarperCollins writers.
No, that didn't matter.
In the end, the ones that seemed most unconventional to me were Robert Musil, because I don't think of him as a writer of anything other than the most intellectually challenging works.
Which Tonka is.
The Man Without Qualities is probably the most difficult book I love in all of my reading experience.
Well, this is that kind of story as well. I refer to it as a kind of punishing story. Yeah, I couldn't get it out of my mind. I tried not to include it, but I kept thinking about it. It was unlike anything else in the book, and it's long, but it was a flavor that hadn't been put into this stew. So I did end up with it.
Some of the other writers we might expect to see, like Guy de Maupassant, or for that matter, Grace Paley. Another surprise to me was Gilbert Sorrentino.
Gilbert Sorrentino was my teacher at Stanford, and that is a most fantastic story, The Moon in Its Flight. And I recently gave this, we've been reading this collection in my fiction writing class at Princeton, and that was one of the favorite stories of my students. So that's a wonderful story. It's a kind of postmodern send-up of the love story. At the same time, it's a wonderful love story.
And another surprise, but a very pleasant one, was Red Rose, White Rose by Eileen Chang, a writer who is very famous in China,
mm-hmm.
and not well known in the United States, even though she lived here for a long part of her life in L.A., I think.
She did.
Trying to write screenplays.
She did.
And just recently got some attention because
Lust
Caution, mm-hmm. which is one of her least representative stories, that's the one that wound up becoming a movie. This is more like what we would think of as her kind of thing.
Yeah, Eileen Chang was a discovery for me. Edwin Frank, who runs the New York Review of Books, sent me her work, and I thought it was wonderful and included her. I didn't know there was a movie coming out, nor did I know when I chose Alice Munro's When the Bear Comes Over the Mountain that was being made into a movie under a different... The Bear Came Over the Mountain under a different title.
Mm-hmm. The Sarah Pauley's film. Now I'm forgetting the name.
Away From Her?
Yeah. You also have Raymond Carver's famous story, What We Talk About When We Talk About Love.
Yes, the original version. or I don't know how to refer to it.
This is the first published version.
Yes.
Were you attempted to run them side by side? Looked at the new version?
I have. I think that the edits were very good edits and that what we think of as the Raymond Carver style was created by Lish with obviously the wonderful material that Carver gave him.
Well, is that something that all writers would be happy with? If you had an editor mm-hmm. who said, Jeffrey, I'm going to cut out one-third of all of what you've written here. I mm-hmm. think it'll make a tighter story. Would you just say great?
I have that editor, and he's me. But I'm always cutting out everything. But I have a Lish story that sort of pertains to this. After The Virgin Suicides came out, I received a copy in the mail that had been edited. Someone had read it and edited it, and it was Gordon Lish, and he had read it on a plane. And he said he liked the book, but these were a couple of things he thought I could do. And he made very much Raymond Carver-ish edits, making things sharper, a little more bitter. For a while, he convinced me that the last line should be shortened. And he did make it snappier, but as I said, more bitter. And I agreed with him, and I changed it for the paperback, and then decided in, I guess, a Carver-like fashion that I liked my original. And so there's a small edition of Virgin Suicides that has Lish's more bitter ending in it. It's only about
printing.
A phrase taken out. But he's a persuasive man. I understand why Carver was probably influenced by him.
Well, he was here once, and he read from one of his own stories, and it was one of the strangest stories I've ever had anybody read mm-hmm. on the air, in which the word follicle was... was a stand-in for penis, and he every time he said follicle, he looked up at me meaningfully, as if he was doing something really, really indiscreet mm-hmm. on the air.
Well, it made the word longer, at least, right?
I didn't get it, but then again, I'm going to have to read the two stories side by side, the two Carver stories, and decide for myself.
I've done that, yeah.
I have a feeling that they'll both be really interesting because the original material is interesting, and I'm sure that was true for so many of these things. But when you read somebody like Alice Munro,
mm-hmm.
aren't you envious at times just by the way she can construct a sentence?
With her, what gets me is the way she constructs a story. The amounts of different times that she's able to put into a short narrative amazes me. That's why her short stories, and everyone says this, feel like they're novels. That's what makes me marvel. Obviously, her sentences are fine too, but of writers whose style dazzles me, you know, her style is a more simple one, and that's not my main focus when I'm admiring her.
Well, whether people agree with your definition of what makes a good love story or not, they definitely are going to get a lot of wonderful stories from this book. And I want to thank you so much for being with us to talk about
Thanks
it.
Thanks for having me.
Eugenides, you have another novel in the works, or is it
going
to have to wait another 10 years?
I just finished a collection of short stories, and I'm halfway, I think halfway, in case my editor across the town is listening, through with my next novel.
The Pulitzer Prize-winning author Jeffrey Eugenides, his novels, The Virgin Suicides and Middlesex. Now he's edited My Mistress's Sparrow is Dead, Great Love Stories from Chekhov to Munro, published by HarperCollins. Thank you so much.
Thank you.